The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Welcome! we have started a brand new series called The Call. We started this last week. If you missed our first week of our teaching, you can go back to our podcast and catch that. This is going to be about a five-week series. It's called The Call. And what is it all about? Well, the truth is that God has a call for each of us. When Jesus was here for 33 years, he spent his last 3 years of life with a small group of people. We looked at those people last year, and we looked really specifically at the story of a guy named Peter, a guy who was rejected as a young child growing up. Most Jewish boys, if they had what it took, they would be recruited by the rabbis back then, and they would be taken on as disciples of a rabbi. And if you didn't get chosen, if you didn't have what it took, you would go and become a fisherman or a carpenter or whatever it was that your father did before you. And so Peter is fishing one day. He's been rejected. He's out. He's basically given over to, I guess I'll be a fisherman the rest of my life. And Jesus calls him and says, not only will you be a fisherman and catch great amounts of fish like we looked at last week, but you will be a fisher of men if you follow me. And we see in that story that Peter left everything at that moment, and a number of his friends left everything and they went and followed Jesus. Jesus extends that call to you and I to become his followers. We started off this school year with a series called Fan or Follower. How many of you were here for that series? The focus was really, are you just a fan of Jesus? Like, wow, that guy is cool. I love the way he helps people. Or are you a follower? Are you getting your hands dirty? And are you getting into the midst of doing what God cares about? That's what this series is about. It's for us to realize as a church that we are called. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. Ekklesia means out, called. Ek, out, klesia, called. We are called out. God did not build his church for us to come and gather together once a week for an hour and sing a couple songs and read some passages of scripture and be done with it. God called us to be an assembly that would be sent out to make a difference in our world. You're going to hear some awesome stories today of how God is using the people in our community to make a difference in our community and around the world. Throughout this series, we're going to get kind of some focused on what is God calling us to do. Today, it's called to care. And we're going to focus on that today. Next week, I think we're going to do called to serve, called to generosity. And we're going to be looking at how God wants us to be the disciples that he's called us to be. The passage that we launch off of here is from 1 Peter, the guy who was rejected, but then God called him. 1 Peter chapter 2. I got it here somewhere. Chapter 2 verse 21 says this. To this you were what?
Called.
You were what?
Called.
I know some of you are sitting far back, but I want to hear you in the back. You were what?
Called.
There you go. We are called. Jesus calls us to join him. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. God, I pray that you speak to our hearts, that you open our minds today to the message that you want us to hear, that you'd show us, God, that casual, comfortable Christianity is not good enough. God, you did not call us just to be saved and to have some form of fire insurance and not go to hell one day. God, you called us to be your church, called and sent out to make a difference in this world. And God, I pray that you show us how it is that we as a local church, a part of your greater body, can be called and sent to fulfill your purpose for this area. God, thank you. I pray that you show us how to care. In your name we pray, amen. A lot of you, if you've been around enough, you know that I like to tell stories about my life. My brother Gary, one of my greatest role models, I'm one of four children, and I'm the oldest. I did not get the gift of caring for people. How many of you would agree with that? You don't like caring for people. Okay, two of you admit it. Okay. I hated caring for people. Okay. And you're like, what kind of church am I? The pastor doesn't like caring for people. I'm being honest and confessing to you, okay? I did not like this. My brother, on the other hand, he would bend over backwards to care for people. He would go out and we would mow lawns and do summer chores to make money, and he would find ways to give his money away. And I'm like, what are you doing? Do you know the G.I. Joe stuff you could buy with that money? It was crazy. And my brother just was always about caring for others. My dad became a deacon in one of the churches we were going to. And there was this, I grew up in Colorado, a lot of snow. Any of you ever lived in Colorado? That's God's country, John Dumko, Colorado. Colorado, blessed with snow all year. And if you want it, just drive in the mountains. Anyways, my dad came home one Saturday morning and woke us up, my brother and I. It's 8:00 in the morning on a Saturday. What are you doing, Dad? And he's like, come on, we're going to go shovel some driveways. Driveways? Shovel? What? Shoveling one driveway is a pain enough. What are you talking about? And my dad, he was on this rotation where the different deacons would go to some of the older people's homes in our church, and they would shovel their driveways. So I was like, are you serious, Dad? And Gary was like, all right, how many do we get to do? Okay? I'm like, shoot him, okay? That's my brother. My dad was always about going out and serving, raking leaves, shoveling driveways. And I was like, oh my goodness, why? Not again. You know, I'm all about, you know, let's study the scriptures. Let's read these stories. Let's tell others what to do. But you want me to do it? What? Okay, so anyways, that was my brother and that was me. I did not have the gift of caring. And, you know, God does not, it's not good enough. The gift for us to hold that as some excuse is lame. And I believe it's a sin. For us to say, well, you know, I'm gifted to do other things. I think you're wrong. And I think for too many years, we as Christians have hidden behind what we think we're gifted at so that we don't have to do the dirty stuff that we don't like doing. And today, I want us to really, I hope that what I have to share with you is not just me and my opinion, but it's God's Holy Spirit. And I hope he brings it to life in you, your life today. I want you to hear this. God calls us to care. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said this about a guy named Timothy, a young man who he was mentoring. He said this, Philippians 2, 20 through 21, say this. I have no one else like Timothy. Who genuinely what? It's not up there. But you can guess. Starts with the C and ends with airs. Who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. Let me read that for you one more time. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All others care only for themselves and not for the matters of Jesus Christ. God calls us all to care. The other point I want you to get today, that you're going to hear several times over and over again, to say your care and not act is to not care at all. To say you care and not act is to not care at all. Care and love are very similar. You can say you love somebody, but if it doesn't produce action in your life, then there really is no love. Love is not a feeling, and caring is not a feeling. It's not about whether you want to or not. It's about you deciding to do it, making a decision. God wants me to care. I need to care. God wants me to love. I need to choose to love. Whether you feel it or not, there are certain things God calls us to do. We are called to care. My heart began to become transformed as I started to realize, God, if you really want me to love others like you love me, I need you to do it. I can't do it on my own. There are many things in life that God's going to call us to do that in and of ourselves we will not be able to do. That's why he gives us the power of his Holy Spirit to give us what we are missing, to give us that heart of care, that heart of love, that heart of compassion. That's a big word for today, the word compassion. Say it with me. Compassion. One more time. Okay, now I want to teach you the Greek word for it. You ready? Here we go. It took me 4 years of Bible college to learn how to say this. And I can't find it in my notes to pronounce it right. Here we go. Splagnidzomehi. Say it. Wow, a lot of you actually got it. That's good. Okay, splagnidzomehi. Splagnidzomehi is the Greek word for compassion. And this word, it communicates an angst, an agony, an aching in your bones that when you see something, you are moved to action. You see somebody hurting and you are moved to care. Have you ever had that happen in your life where you see some situation or someone hurting and it just aches you on the inside and you know that you need to do something? If you're sitting there and saying, no, that's never happened for me, then you're sinning like I was, okay? And like I am often, and we need to pray, God, help our hearts break for what your heart breaks for. Help us to see the world, God, through your eyes. Help me to develop a heart of care and compassion, because that is what God's heart is all about. If you take this word, splagnizomehi, and you look just at the times it appears in Scripture when Jesus is associated with it, every time that Jesus had this feeling, this aching in his bones, this compassion, this splagnizomehi, he was moved to compassion, moved to action. Let me give you just a handful of examples. In Matthew 14:14, it says that when Jesus landed, he saw such a large crowd and he had compassion on them and he did what? Healed their sickness. Matthew 20:34, Jesus had compassion on them and he touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and they followed him. In Mark 6:33-34, it says this, when Jesus landed, he saw such a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began teaching them many things. If you don't feel like you are a person of care and compassion, my hope is that as a follower of Christ, you would start today to say, God, give me a heart that cares. But then to say you care and not act is to not care at all. So God, not only give me a heart that cares, but help me to put that into action. I'm so proud of this, being a part of this church. This church, we're about 2 years old, a little over 2 years old. And from the beginning, God started to break my heart when he started to lead me to plant this church. I was working for about 6 years at First Baptist Church of Woodbridge. Initially, I was just over the youth and young adults. But as I was there, I ended up taking on the benevolence ministry. First Baptist Church, it's hard to miss. If you drive up and down Minneville, it's a big one on the corner up there by the Coles Ford. And people, it's a magnet. People who are hurting are drawn to it. And so I would meet with 2 to 3 families a day who just couldn't pay their rent, couldn't pay their bills, had medical things that they needed help with and no insurance. There were, you name it, those kinds of people came through the door. And I was meeting 2 or 3 times a day with families in need. God has called us to care for these people. We read a verse from James last week. It says the kind of religion that God desires is a religion that takes care of widows and orphans. God has called us to care for those who are in need. As God started to give us the idea for planting Hope Hill Church, one night, actually, I'm going to put this under one of the points. Pause. I'm excited to be a part of this church because God is helping us put things into action. We have a guest with us this morning, Roxanne Hudson. Where are you? Will you come on up, Roxanne? Will you turn on the wireless for me. Roxanne, let me introduce her to you. She is, come on up. Roxanne is the principal of Belmont Bay Elementary School. A couple weeks ago, God allowed us to go through Roxanne's help as the principal there, opening up the doors for us to come into that community and to put our love and our care into action. God has called us to do this. And we don't want to be a church, again, just gathers on a Sunday morning to worship and have a worship service. But we want to be a kind of congregation that serves God and worships Him through service. Amen? And a lot of you believe in that. You've got behind it. And so 2 weeks ago, was it? We closed our doors here and we said, we're not just going to sit here in our seats and hear about what God wants us to do. We're going to go do it. And so, again, we found an opportunity to put our love and care into action, and we went and served. And I've asked Roxanne to come as the principal. There's another church that meets there, and things just worked out for us to be able to go in and to meet some needs. And I want you to hear just from her. Did we help? Was it good what we did?
Absolutely.
Let us know. Let us know what's going on. Let me see. It's on. There we go.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. I just want to read before I start sharing. I am the principal over at Belmont Elementary School. And in Matthew 25, it states that when I was hungry, see, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger and you invited me in, I needed clothes, you clothed me. And if you go further down in 25, it says, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. I want to say first that before you came in to do the free sale at our school, at the beginning of the school year, Ms. Connor, who is a member of your church here, had approached our counselor and asked if they could minister to our community of students who needed food for over the weekend time frame. So our community has over 65% free and reduced students. In other words, they don't have enough money to make it so that they can apply to have free and reduced lunch in the school system. So they're able to do that. 65% of our students are in this situation. And we were able to help 50 of them throughout the whole year. So this started back in September or October and has been going on throughout the year, where we provide them food through your blessings in a backpack every Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. We give them a bag to put in their backpack that they can have food over the weekend. That alone, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. It was a tremendous blessing to not only me, but these families, that when I was told that you were coming to do a free sale, at first I didn't understand it. I don't understand. What do you mean? That they were going to bring a whole ton of stuff and that the community can just come and take it all. So I thought that's fantastic. You've already been doing this all year long, and then now you want to give again. And it did. I mean, the whole, how big is that? 18-wheeler truck thingamabobby was filled. A whole bunch of other stuff was filled, and our gymnasium was completely full. They had to go out into the hallway, outside, and still, I guess there was still some more stuff in that big trailer that they could still give away. Now, 2 weeks prior to that free sale, a family came to us, and they were not going to have a place to live for a full week. And as a matter of fact, I guess the kids weren't going to be able to come to school. And we reached out to our staff and said, hey, can anyone, if you'd like to give to this family, they're in need right now, they're homeless, and they're not going to have a place to stay. And I'm not sure exactly at that time. I think it was pretty cold because it wasn't, for some reason, we had an odd time frame. And we didn't want them staying in their cars. We didn't want them staying, you know, outside or anything like that. And everybody came together. And not only everybody, but they had heard about this family. Hope Hill had heard about the family and decided to give a night as well. So it seems that the partnership between Hope Hill and Belmont has grown huge, and I just, you know, you were called, and you took the call, and you went past it and beyond it, and I really appreciate it. And I want to share another verse. It's Proverbs 22:7. It says, okay. Mm-hmm. I like the way it says, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. But I like the way it's stated in the Bible that you all have on the table. It states that whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. And I believe that you all have blessed us tremendously, and I look forward to continuing our partnership to bless our community.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's because we believe in what God is doing and what God has done for us that we then respond to this call. And we're going to keep stretching you. We don't want to be a comfortable church. We don't want to be a church that, again, just kind of comes in here once in a while. We want to get our hands dirty. And if you are going to be a part of this church, you just need to be warned. We work hard and we get out there because God calls us to. And so I'm just warning you, if this is the church you want to stick with, be ready, okay? We'll leave it at that for now. All right, so I want us to kind of bounce off of this into a passage today that kind of illustrates this for us. As I started to pray about what God wanted our church to be like, we met with a lot of you in our living room. Week in and week out, sometimes 2-3 times a week, and we would pray, God, show us the kind of church you want us to be. We don't want to be just another building on a corner somewhere, God. We want to be in the community. We want to be the kind of church that if our church ceased to exist, the community would hurt. And we want to, not for pride's sake, but because we believe deeply that God calls us to compassion and to make a difference. And so one night, after a long, hard week, Brandy and I were like, hey, let's just take a break from this church planning stuff and let's go have a date. And we got in the car and we were like, we're just not going to think. Let's just go eat some food and watch a movie. So we pull up to the gas station, and while we're sitting there pumping gas, I look across the van and I see a trailer park I've never seen before down by Pillar Church on the corner of 95 and 234. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know there was a trailer park back there, Grayson Village. And I'd lived here for 15 years and been to that gas station many times. And I'm just sitting there pumping gas, like, well, that's interesting. And so I finish pumping the gas, I get in the car, okay, it's time for the movie. And Brandy looks at me and says, did you know there was a trailer park back there? I'm like, no. And just inside, we like this mental telepathy stuff starts going on. And I'm thinking, we're not going to the movie. And as we begin to pull out of the parking lot, she's like, she looks at me, and I'm like, okay, let's go. And we pulled in there, and we just pulled in there, and we just started praying. God, show us how you want us to be our hands and feet here in this community. And that's what we need to be. We need to be about God. Even though we don't feel like we have the gift of caring, God, break our hearts. Lead us. Give us hearts of compassion. Show us, God, where you want us to be sent. And as we begin to listen, here's what happens. As we begin to draw close to God, and as we pray, God, break our hearts, our hearts will begin to care for the things he cares about. And as we begin to put action to that caring, as we begin to act on the care, we become more like God. It also works vice versa. If I stop caring for others, I will in my walk drift away from God. And as I drift away from God, I will stop caring more about others and focus more on my own wants and needs. It's a dangerous cycle, but we need to put ourselves in a routine to where we're forced to go out of our way to care for others. There's a debate that unfolds in Luke chapter 10. We're not going to have time to go through the whole story. I'm going to break down some of it for you. But if you want to mark your Bibles and read it later this week, Luke chapter 10. Jesus is teaching, And he's at an older stage in life, and there's a bunch of people who are looking at him. They're kind of skeptical. Is this guy really legit or not? And one of the experts of the Old Testament law who knows the scriptures back and forth comes, and to try to test Jesus, he's like, okay, Jesus, so how do I get into heaven? And Jesus says, well, what does the law say? If you're really an expert, what does the law say? And he says, well, the law says that I need to love the Lord God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus says, yeah, so go and do it. And he goes, okay, I will, but who is my neighbor? He's trying to trap Jesus here. And he's like, is it the guy that, you know, Bob that lives next door, who I see every once in a while we're grilling outside? Is that my neighbor? Is that the one it's talking about? The guy who's kind of easy to love, we're like-minded, he's never offended me. You know, yeah, I can love him. Is it the guy I work with? You know, that guy who kind of annoys me that always wants to borrow my stapler? Okay. Is it the guy I go to school with, teenagers? Is it that girl who sits in my homeroom? Is that my neighbor? Is that the one you want me to? Is it the one that I see at Starbucks every time I go buy my $5 cup of hot chocolate, Kelly Carney? Is it, who is it that is my neighbor? Who are you referring to? And Jesus says, well, let me tell you a story about a man named Jed. Okay, let me tell you a story, he says. Jesus always had a way of telling a story. And in Luke 29, it says this. The guy, the expert of the law, was wanting to justify himself. He was trying to say, yeah, I helped that neighbor and that neighbor, so I'm neighbored out. I've filled up my care meter. I've done enough, right? And Jesus said this. A man was going down from Jericho to Jerusalem. Now, first of all, what you need to know is this road from Jericho to Jerusalem is about a 17-mile road, long and winding, and it drops about 3,000 miles is a big drop. 3,000 feet in the 17 miles, and it was a dangerous road. It was the kind of road that if you had a really nice car, you didn't take it on this road. Nobody had a really nice car back then, but you get the point, right? It was known that this is where often people would be mugged. Robbers would hide out, and anybody traveling this road would typically, you know, get beat up. And here's what happens, is while this guy is, a gentleman is taking this journey, a man is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It goes on, he says, when he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. So they've come out, and they've beat the tar out of this guy. This guy is like on the side of the road. If nobody shows up, he is surely going to die. And Jesus goes on, he says, what happens is all of a sudden, the good news comes. There's some church guys about to walk by. Good news, right? Maybe not. So here's, let's see what happens. It says, this guy's been beat, he's left on the side of the road. And in verse 31, it says, a priest happened, this could also be, you know, a pastor, maybe Pastor John, happened to be walking by, and a priest happens to go down the same road, and when he sees the man, he helps him. Is that what it says? He passes right on by. Maybe he had a long week, okay? Maybe he had been like meeting with 2 to 3 people in need already that day, and, you know, his wife had a good meal. He was needing to get home, okay? Maybe that's what it was. Maybe there was some kind of family thing he had to get to and he couldn't stop. Or maybe he was thinking, you know, this is a trap. That guy could be faking it. I'm going to go help him and he's going to beat me up himself. You know, all these things and reasons are going through his mind. You know, maybe this could be a messy situation. And I don't know if my church has enough resources to help that guy. So it's better I not know. Okay. And one excuse after another, he just passes on by. And then another, a Levite, another guy who works in the temple back then. So too, a Levite, another pastoral type guy, comes by. And when he came to the place, verse 32, and he saw the man, he passed on the other side. Here's the thing you need to know. You will always have an excuse and a reason to not care, to not help. You will always. And yes, if you want to justify it, you will have a reason. You will always have a reason to say, well, you know what? I really don't know those people, and this could get messy, and I just don't know if I have what it takes. Somebody else will help. Maybe they deserved it. Who knows? What goes around comes around. I have my own problems at home that I'm dealing with right now. Maybe next week things will be better and I'll stop. Or maybe it's that guy who's in your community group who's always needing help, that real annoying one. Every group has one. You're like sitting there going, no, my group doesn't. Yeah, they do. You're the guy. Anyway, all right, I didn't just say that. Here we go. We need to realize that God calls us to care. It's not a choice. It is a commandment. And we have to make the choice to follow it. To say we care and are Christ-like, but to not act is to not care at all. So here we go. Three things I want to throw at you. What does this look like? How do we make this real in our life? One, first of all, compassion interrupts. That date night, Brandy and I, we wanted it. And yes, we do take nights where we just get away and we spend time alone. But oftentimes, it's those divine appointments that we don't expect. This guy who gets beat up is left on the side of the road. But here's what happens, is the guy who's questioning Jesus is an expert of the law. He's a Jewish guy. And there are people in his life that he does not like. Basically, it's anybody who's not like him. Anybody who's not a Jew. And what's worse is half-breeds. And back then, there were this race of people called Samaritans, who were like half-Jews, half-non-Jews. And so Jesus, knowing this, says, a Samaritan comes by. He goes on, he says, as the Samaritan traveled, he came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Do you know what the word pity is in Greek? Say it. Splagnos, yeah, zomehi. Okay, yeah, however we say it. It's that same word. This guy, the Samaritan, was moved with agony in his bones, and he decided to take pity on this guy. Compassion interrupts. This Samaritan didn't plan his day. Okay, I'm going to go help a guy who's half dead. We were in New York City about a month or so ago for my daughter's sweet 16 birthday. And we're on our way home. We need to catch this subway or we'll have to wait a while, maybe 20 more minutes, inconvenient. But anyways, we're in this rush and we walk into the subway and I'm the first one down the steps and there's a homeless guy sitting there. And all I'm thinking is I've got to get these 10 girls on the subway. You'd be thinking the same thing if you were the only guy and 10 girls there, okay? So I got to get these 10 girls. And so I walk right on by this guy. All of a sudden, on the back of my shirt, I get pulled. And I turn around, and it's Alexis, my 12-year-old. Just became 12 yesterday. And she's like, Dad, there's a homeless guy there. Shouldn't we help him? I'm like, God. And I'm like, I literally am still like, saying God in my mind, I'm like, no, we need to catch this bus. In my mind, someone else is going to help this guy. He's probably there every day. So, Dad, and Brandy just looks at me and is like, okay, what are you going to do now? So I'm like thinking, what excuse do I have? Okay, I don't have any cash. All I got is credit cards and these bus tickets. It's not going to help the guy. And I wish we could do something, but we don't have any money. And these 10 girls open up. We got money. I'm just like, what? And they go over to this guy, and they don't just give him money. They stand around. They start praying for this guy. Compassion interrupts. When we don't plan on it, God is like, no. I need you right now. And my daughters, they were the example for me that day. And those girls, and they poured out their love on this man. Compassion interrupts. You're not going to expect it, but God wants us to be ready for it. He wants our eyes open and ready to be used. Number two, compassion costs. The next day, he took out two silver coins, the Samaritan did. The next day, he's traveling. He's walked down this long road. He had his donkey for a while, but now he's picked up this almost dead guy. He's put him on the donkey, and now he's walked next to the guy on the donkey the 17 miles to the nearest town where there's a hotel. That cost him something. Now he's had to go and do this. But then he gets to the town and he goes to a hotel and he takes out 2 silver coins. That's 2 days' wages back then. This guy doesn't just help him. He like digs deep and pulls out 2 silver coins. And he doesn't just do that. He says this, and he gave it to the innkeeper and he said, "Look after this man," he said. "And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." This is the guy who's like the outcast, the Samaritan, the guy not good enough, the half-breed, showing in Jesus' story how we're supposed to care for others. He helps this guy and then he offers to pay for this guy's needs. It costs us something. Do you care for others? Sure, yeah, it's easy for us to sometimes pull out a dollar and give it to a guy on the side of a road. It's easy for us to give our leftover clothes that we haven't worn the last winter at a free sale. But God wants us to give us something that costs us something. When was the last time you gave so much that it hurt? David said, back in the Old Testament, "I will not offer God anything that costs me nothing." True worship is not us giving of our excess. It's us giving of what we need. And when we give of what we need, God will replace it with more than we need. I'm not here trying to teach some prosperity gospel where if you give $100 today, God's going to send you 1,000. It's not like that. Sometimes God will continue to give and he will bless you with joy and just knowing that you have helped another person. Have you given so much that it cost you something? And God wants us to give it all. God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing. Next thing is compassion changes lives. If we go on and read the story, this guy has just helped out. He's put this man in this care. He's offered to pay for him. And in Luke 10:36-7, it says, Jesus says, "So which of these three, the Levite, the priest, and the Samaritan, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And get this, the expert can't even say Samaritan. Look at his answer. "Well, I guess it's the one who showed mercy." He couldn't even say Samaritan. But that's the truth here, is that God wants us to show mercy, not just to those who are easy to love, but those who nobody else wants to love. If we look at the story of Jesus throughout the Gospels and just follow him as he, look at how he has compassion on people who are often outcasts, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, those who are rejected, God goes out of his way to love on them. He reaches out to the lepers, the sick, those in need. Jesus said, "A doctor has come for the sick, and I have come to love on them." Watch Jesus and then follow him. And we will begin to develop in ourselves a heart for compassion. When we put ourselves in this place, God will open up our eyes to the needs around us and show us how it is he wants to use us. And when we put ourselves in a place where God can use us, lives will be changed. And not only others' lives, but as we are used by God, he will change our lives. 14, 15 years ago, a family that was in a church I was a part of back then, the Church of Christ our Lord, felt a heart of care and compassion. And they decided that God was calling them to adopt a child in need. Robin and Bill Banford, good friends of ours. Robin's here and Bill is now with Jesus. Bruce is with us too. Were you playing guitar this morning, Bruce? No, last night. You all missed it. He was on the drums. The Banfords decided that God was calling them to have compassion, to take care of orphans. And they went all the way to China. They prayed about it and they felt God was sending them to China. And I want you to hear the story this morning as we close of a life transformed because of compassion. We roll it.
Hey guys, my name's Faith, and I'm going to draw my life. Most people can tell you the hour they were born, when they were born, and where they were born. My story is a little different. I don't know my birth name, my birth date, or my birthplace. When I was around 13 months, I was found at a bus station in Maoming, China, by police officers. I was then taken to an orphanage to be taken care of. On August 10th, 1999, as they would say in China, I became one lucky baby. My lovely dad, mom, and my two brothers adopted me with open arms, and I traveled halfway around the world to my new home. My first few years in the United States, I was living the American dream. But just at a tender age of 5, tragedy hit our family. My grandma, Nanny Pat, whom I was very close to, became ill for a year and then passed away from cancer. Almost 1 year to the day, my dad passed away suddenly from a heart attack in the middle of the night. As a little one, I didn't know how to comprehend everything that had happened. Even through those sad times, I could see how God was always faithful, providing for my mom and our family. The next few years weren't easy, don't get me wrong. At gymnastics meets and on special occasions, there was always a loneliness that nagged us. But eventually, we settled into a routine. Then, 3 years ago, another transition occurred. My mom fell in love and introduced a new person to the family. Then, they got married, which meant I suddenly had 3 sisters, 1 more brother, 6 nieces, and 3 more nephews, and 2 more grandparents. To sum it up, my family went from small to big in 1 short afternoon. In the midst of all these changes, God found me. After I learned the lesson of adoption and how to overcome difficulties, God gave me the passion to help others. It's a genuine desire that I have for my friends. My heart breaks to see that some of my friends don't know Christ, but I believe that God has a plan to use me to show His love to others. The miracle is that it started 14 and a half years ago at a bus station in China. I don't know what the future holds, but I know that God is in control of my future. I believe God has a purpose for everything, and maybe, just maybe, my story was told today to impact you guys.
Faith says she's shy, so she had to make that video to say it for her. She's actually helping out in our kids' ministry this morning. And that's what it's all about. God has called us to care, to have compassion. Are you willing to follow that call? God, I pray that you would break our hearts for the things that break yours. God, I know the first step for that is for us to have our heart open to you, God. And if I pray that if there's somebody in this room this morning who has never realized how much you care for them, that you love them so much that you gave your life on a cross to have your blood shed, to forgive them of their sins, God, that they would come to a place of realizing that you did that to forgive them, to extend your love and your care and your compassion to us. God, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that has never opened up their heart to you, that they would do it right now, and they would just say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. Come into my life and make me the person you want me to be. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to turn from the things that I know that are wrong and help me to follow you. God, I also say a prayer for those in this room who do know who you are, who do consider themselves believers and followers of you. God, and I pray that you would show us the areas of our life where we're not caring like you want us to care, where we don't have the heart of compassion that you call us to have. God, and I pray that you would show us how we can show that care and to put it into action. To give something that doesn't just cost us nothing, but to give so much that it hurts, God, that we give and live lives of sacrifice, lives of generosity, lives of compassion, and then we go around being used by you to see lives transformed. God, I thank you for calling us to these things because in the midst of joining you in your work, we become changed people. We become people filled with joy. And we become, God, the people you called us to be. So God, I pray that you move in our hearts at this time. Over the next few moments, God, help us to give up our own selfish desires, our own dreams, God, and put them at your feet, saying, God, what do you want me to have a heart for? What do you want me to be compassionate about? God, help me through the power of your Holy Spirit to be the person you want me to be. As we take time this morning to reflect and respond through our acts of worship, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I pray that you allow yourself to be reminded that it is Christ who loved and gave himself for us so that we can now love and give ourselves for others. And I invite you to remember this today as we take communion together. We have stations on either side of the stage this morning with pieces of bread broken as a symbol of God's body broken for us. The greatest act of compassion ever shown. Christ giving himself for us. And as you take that piece of bread and you dip it in the blood, the cup of juice, symbolic of blood shed for us, Christ gave his blood so that we could be forgiven. And let us remember that we live now a life because of his death for us. I invite you to come as you feel led to receive communion. As we worship God and as we call out to him saying, God, show us how to accept this call to be people who care and have compassion. Respond as you feel led. I will be up here at front ready to pray for anybody who would like to pray with me. We also have prayer teams in the very back by the water stations. You can slip back there and pray, or you can come forward and pray. But listen to God and put that into action today by saying, God, help me to act. And pray with someone and then leave this place ready to care. I invite you to respond as you feel led. Let's pray.